Again, welcome to all of our friends and visitors today, and thank you for choosing to be with us. You know, I didn't know if Easter would finally get here, because we'd been living in such a bad news time. We needed something good to happen, didn't we, right? Because it's been Good Friday for way too long, all right? And as Bobby pointed out, a church in controversy in the midst of a nation in controversy and unrest and division and discord and all of those things going on. So a day like this is long overdue. You know, it's hard to be Christian sometimes. And some of you may be visiting today, maybe you're on the fence about that. Maybe you look at and Christians that you know and you see that maybe it's not making that big a difference in their life. Let me just say that we're not all on the same page in the church. We are as different in every other arena in life, and we do have division, and we do have discord, and we do have petty. Christians are not better than other people. Know that. We want to be better. And that's why I hope we're here. That's what I see and what I see. But I know that the church gets a bad rap on occasion, and sometimes it's deserved. You know, in some arenas, in some elements. I mean, we get told that, judged by the world, many in the world, that we are hypocritical and that we are narrow-minded and we are focused on ourselves and the people that think like us and not really concerned about the needs of the world and so forth. And, you know, and every once in a while you'll see somebody on TV speaking for the church that makes you cringe. I know I get embarrassed by that as well, you know. But and when you see something like that, let me just say, don't judge the whole church in that way. Nor do not judge the master by the student who has yet to graduate. All right, you hear me? I mean, there are we're not there yet. None of us are there yet. If you have achieved perfection already, you may leave. You don't need this, all right? This is for the rest of us, all right? So I don't know why we can't say that. We're out in the world, and we see such thing as bad drivers. There are some students who are better students than others, so why do we think that all Christians have to have already had it perfected? We don't. We are who we are. We are diverse, and we don't always agree, and we make mistakes. We Christians, if anything, I've said before, not better people, just better informed. We know where to go when we've blown it. We know usually when we've blown it. And we know how to get right if we will avail ourselves of the grace to us. Grace intended that you and I might grow up. Because we're all children of God, right? And you and I, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. We are works in progress. And we are all trying to get there. And we are here because of the one who brings us here, in which we find our salvation and our reason for living, and we celebrate the resilience of his love and his life today that will not die, with a love so big that hate could not destroy it, with a truth so powerful that it could not be contained in the tomb. For us, this day is the most life-changing, history-making, off the chain, out of the box moment ever. And we can't ever treat it like it's just another day, because it never is, right? This is the day. This is what we celebrate, the day that makes every other day different. So we celebrate that in many ways. I want to share with you a moment from early in my ministry. I was put in a large, fast-growing suburban church, and way too soon, and way too full of myself, and way too naive to understand, you know, certain things are going. But so but I would try to take advantage of things that were going on in the culture. And when I was there, they were looking for churches who were doing things differently. My church was. They interviewed us. We were on the news and so forth. And there was, I wanted to take advantage on Easter. There was a big Elvis revival celebration in Omaha. So on Easter morning, your pastor long ago decided to come as Elvis on Easter, all right? So now, back then, I had to choose between young Elvis and old middle-aged bloating Elvis. Now I would not have a choice, right? So yeah, so here, this picture there, that's me, that's it, yeah, that's your pastor right there. Yes, yes. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yes, yes. So on that day, yeah, that is kind of marked. Everything kind of changed then in the church. But, you know, I was, you know, more daring back then and more naive and more less worried about appearances and all of that kind of stuff than I even today, if that's possible, that you would know that I am. And what I did with that, you know, first I started off talking about similarities between Elvis and Jesus. You know, Elvis was the king of rock and roll. Jesus was the king of kings that rolled away the rock, you know. And things like Jesus was the good shepherd. Elvis dated Sybil Shepherd, you know, that kind of thing. Did that for a little while. But then I got down to the meat of it. You know, everybody says, and it was all over town, Elvis lives, and there were all these impersonators. They say, Elvis is dead. Jesus lives. Elvis had hold of everything that the world values and the world seeks. He had talent. He had looks and sex appeal. He had creativity. He had great wealth, and he had fame and the adoration of millions. He had all of that. He was all of that. He had all of that. He was bigger than life. And he was so unhappy that he took his own life, that he checked out of the building early because he was so miserable. Jesus was bigger than death. His love so great, his truth so powerful, death in the tomb could not contain it. And that was a message that I delivered in that wig, those sunglasses, and that rhinestone jumpsuit. And that was a wig. Well, I did have hair then, yes, but yeah. But I want you to know something. Three people left the church. They thought I embarrassed them. 364 people joined the church that year. And they were almost all of them people that had never been a part of a church or had broken away from the church. And there was something about our ministry then, and something about how God was using that. What I'm telling you is that God can take even our foolishness. And I have been a fool for many things, much lesser things than the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God can take that and use it and make it fruitful if we just give our full selves to it. And if a people will receive it. The beautiful thing about that church is that they would put up with my foolishness. They were fun, and they would find a way to do creative things, and they would share with their neighbors. They would invite their neighbors, and the church grew. It was something that God was doing. So I thank God that those people were able to accept me and for my own weirdness and willing to let me try things that were different and new and might be fun and fruitful. So what I'm lift that up because we're going to get a new pastor this year. And he's going to be different than this one. Like, this one was different than Pastor Billy Still and all others before. And the best thing that we might do is not hold them up to the same standards or having the same gifts, but being open to how God might have gifted Pastor Ken. And be open to where he might lead you and take you, and just see what happens. Pastors need to do that with churches too. If we first understand the great gifts of the congregation and the gifts of the body that God has called us to, we are all better together. So that's my encouragement to us in going forward as a church. But here's the thing about the church too, about our church. I want people to know what we do stand for. Because you don't always hear the good news about what's going on with God's people. We get all the bad news and the controversial news. But I want to let you know just some things that happened in recent days here at St. Paul's. We do a lot of things that churches do. And we have worship services and we have, we have meetings and so forth. But we also open our doors to other community organizations that have nothing to do with the church except that they're a part of the community, because we're a part of the community. We think that we're called to be a blessing to the community and that our church ought to be a resource to it. So we've got all kinds of scouting and we've got Sam's strength class that is wonderful, but we've got a new class that's on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and a woman who does wonderfully as well, and a different kind of thing. And we have Al-Anon classes and AA classes and bridge and water painting and watercoloring and all that kind of stuff going on. 70 groups meet here regularly. It's a wonderful thing. And recently we've got some pictures. I wanted to show you some things that happened. Recently we had a church picnic out at the Jesse Owens Park, and it was a wonderful time. We got together and we shared an old, old tradition of Methodism, a covered dish picnic. I'm telling you, it was wonderful. I tell you, it's such a great gift. People bring in their own wares and fares and celebrating that together. But that was also a time in which we asked people to bring socks and undies. And our folks brought over 2,200 sets of socks and undies. And we collected those and sorted them. Took them down to the End Project. Well, not the project now. Now it's called the End. That's our ministry that we join with other churches, United Methodist churches, asked by the folks at ICE, who asked the United Methodists in Tucson and other places if we would provide a ministry of hospitality for people who've already been through the process of immigration. They've been vetted. They're primarily children and young people who are coming with an adult accompanying them, and they get dropped off sometimes with very little notice, and then down at First Church there's an area there that they sort out, and our materials all went there. But on Palm Sunday, just 1 week ago, it seems like it can't be just a week ago, we found out that the ICE folks dropped the inn was already full, and they dropped 100 people at the bus station just suddenly and unannounced, and then another 20 on top of that. So we got a phone call asking if we would take 30 of those people in. Well, none of us were ready for that, but we did it anyway. And God was in this. And we made mistakes. We made big mistakes. It was the first time that we had done this. So we are like, how many ever were babysitters? How many remember the very first time and the kids were conning you? Oh, yeah, we can have chocolate after midnight, we stay up at time, like that. And these were adults, although we did have some kids, but we got chewed out. No, you can't do that. You can't give them that. You can't take them there. So we're just learning all this together. And they were wonderful people, primarily Guatemalans. And I think there's a slide there at the end. It's not necessarily our group there, but and adults and the children and so forth. And they were all wonderful, sweet, and gracious. Even El Nino, little five-year-old boy. I called him El Nino because he was like a destructive storm pattern going through everywhere, the debris everywhere and all the winds. But they were wonderful, and I want to tell you, and folks came out from everywhere and were so generous. And I was so proud of our church. And one of Sam's people that doesn't go to church here asked what was going on. I told them, and they stopped, and she took my hand, and she said, "This church does what a church is supposed to do." And that made me feel proud. But what really touched us is on the way out, when we had them for 3 days, and they finally got their bus tickets to where they were going, where they had family and a new life and so forth. One of the gentlemen stopped, and he wanted to make sure that we all understood. And he said, "God brought me here, and God is in this place." That's how we show that God is in this place. All right? So, yeah. That was a beautiful thing, and thank you all that helped make that happen. It was a great moment for us. We got some other pictures up there, Al, didn't we? We gave money to ICS. We gave peanut butter. We're the peanut butter church, by the way. Did you know that? We're going to put that out there. Yeah, it was our PB4J campaign, right? So they asked us, because peanut butter is what the homeless ask for primarily. They can take it with them. It's portable, doesn't spoil, and everybody likes it that is not allergic to it. So we give them toward that 1,000 jars, and we'll give them some money afterwards. Okay, I don't remember what the boxes are about. Anyway, socks and underwear and other things out there. We gave during Lent almsgiving to our missions in Liberia. That's the Billy Still Road. It's not much of a road, but that road enables them to get to school and medical services and more there as well. And we help fix the cover. And JCAP, the Jim Calfee Africa Project, that one's in Kenya. And we help build chicken coops. I mean, not little coops. Big coops, all right? And this year we're giving towards goats. And these are the self-sustaining kinds of things that they're able to do there in Liberia. Do we have anything else? Oh, we gave Upward Sports. We're trying to get mats for our kids. We have this wonderful sports program where kids that are learning about Jesus for the very first time, it's integrating Christian sportsmanship. We find we don't have to work too hard with the kids to help them understand it. It's their parents. So working all that together. But you know what? We say that kids bounce off the walls. They do not. So we're raising money to get some mats around the outside of that as well. So we got anything else we're doing? Oh, that's from the end there as well. We can't take pictures of faces, so we show their feet. But by the way, we did get them new shoes and new underwear. And some they had when they got here, they hadn't had a shower in 3 days. On a bus ride. So those we provided for them as well. And so back to the sermon. So some other things, and people gave on their own. We also did a work day, and we did a lot of things that church do. I just wanted to lift that up to tell you a little bit about our church, about the good news of our church. We're good news people. And I know that Christians in the news sometimes embarrass us. And we get a little discouraged, and we get a little upset, and we get a little angry, but we got to see that none of us are there yet, and we're all works in progress, children of God. And I believe, though, that the new evangelism is compassion. That the very best thing we can do and be for the world is kind. That if we will do that, we will be like Jesus. And the world will never be able to argue with our witness. That we will once again be the good news people. And we can show the world who Christ is and where he is. And where he is where we are. Wherever there are hurting people. Wherever there is brokenness. Wherever there is need. When his friends stand up. When his disciples go forward. When we give and sacrifice and share. We send a message about who we are. We share the good news message. And that's what we're called to do. And I hope we'll hold that today. I wanted to share something with you today. On Monday, Thursday, when we remember, among other things, Jesus in the upper room, and afterwards, the beginning of his arrest and the mockery of his trial that leads to his death on the cross. We had that service here, and I wanted to do something a little different. And so when it was more toward evening, I asked folks to meet me out in the Memorial Garden. We have this wonderful Rose Garden, a Memorial Garden. And I had got these little luminaries that, and I'd asked for help. And I'd ask Ed Eaton to help me. And this is an example how a failure to communicate a little thing can be a big thing, all right? And that's often what happens with the church. So I asked him to just light these before we came out. So I went outside, and none of them were lit. But he was trying his hardest to light this candle that wasn't lit, lighting, because it was battery operated. I forgot to tell him that one little thing, all right? So that one little thing becomes a huge thing, and I guess that's so. You and I are good news people. We're to share the good news of Jesus Christ to help people understand clearly who he is and who we're trying to be. And sometimes we get it wrong, so we got to work harder when that happens to get it right. Just remember, we are bearers of the light. That's what we got to do. There's so much darkness in the world. If we would just remember to take the light with us, to share the best of who we are into the world. And I believe if we do that, that God will bless our efforts, even our naive, foolish efforts. God will bless it. And the church will rise up with him. And the world will know him, for he is where we are. Amen.